there's a lot going on in the NFL, obviously. The Lamar Jackson stuff is quite intriguing because we've been talking about whether or not he needs an agent. We flashed the numbers on Josh Allen and how much money he's already made in his career, and they were both drafted in the first round of the same draft. And to chat about that, among many other things around the NFL and the sports world for that matter, we're joined now by longtime NFLer, host of the More To It podcast. Here's our buddy Marcellus Wiley. Marcellus, as I'm assuming you had an agent representing you throughout your career, where do you stand on this conversation with Lamar and the idea that maybe he's getting played here, not only by the Ravens, but by the field, because he does not have a rep?
Well, I did have a representative all 10 years of my NFL career. And before I get into that, I will state it all by prefacing by saying you don't need an agent, but it's certainly nice to have one. They do all the dirty work for you. They become the bad cop in a good cop, bad cop negotiation, as most of them are. Now, Lamar knows intimately that he doesn't need an agent because his teammate, linebacker Roquan Smith, signed a 5-year, $100 million deal with little to no noise about it. But he represented himself in that deal as well and got paid. There's a Richard Sherman out there who got paid when he was representing himself. Bobby Wagner's gotten paid several times.
Are we on the air?
Yeah. Play the Coley Acovo drop. It's been, we're well into the show. We haven't played Carlo from yesterday.
I know. How many times did that play on the morning show this morning? Like, that had to have been a 20-pack easily.
Easily. I know Krolnick was goofing about it online, Twitter, Instagram, everything. But we'll see if we can get Marcellus back. And interesting, like, he's referencing these other players, and when we get him back, I'll ask him. Right. We haven't heard him mentioning a quarterback yet. Do we have Marcellus? Let me go there, Marcellus, because you're mentioning Roquan Smith, Richard Sherman. I haven't heard a superstar quarterback who's got an MVP yet referenced in terms of someone not having representation.
Yeah, you won't, because you won't also hear but one quarterback basically in the modern era of free agency that was a franchise-level quarterback that was available under the age of 30. And that was even questionable. His name was Kirk Cousins. No one has a franchise quarterback that even flirts with free agency or gets dangled out there in a non-exclusive franchise tag. But Lamar, I think, needed an agent because he has some variables that he certainly has now found himself losing to. One is you came into the league and people doubted you. So those doubt birds, even if they fly lower or fly higher, they're still flying. People question his style of play. People always say that he's one play away from getting hurt, even though guys in the pocket get hurt more than the guys who run. All of those things are variables you need to negotiate before you even get to the dollar amount. And I don't know if Lamar Jackson really understood how sophisticated a negotiation this was going to be. It's not a conventional quarterback. It's not a traditional quarterback. And his greater years were a couple of years ago, if not farther away than his most recent years, right? He's missed 5 games the last 2 years consecutively. And all those things add up to a person who needs to navigate around those landmines and do it in a way where you still keep your image clean. Right now, Lamar Jackson is being the good cop and the bad cop for the media for public consumption, and that's why people are now starting to look at this situation like it's a dire negotiation. He has to now come out 25 days later and say he asked for a trade March 2nd. All these things are supposed to be done by the agent who we expect to play that role. But right now, the same guy who led the league in passing touchdowns, won the unanimous MVP, is also the same guy who's going out there and representing himself in not such a favorable way. And that's where he's losing right now in the court of public opinion and perception, because you're not supposed to play both roles.
Marcellus, desperation makes sports franchises do some goofy things. You saw the scenario last year with Deshaun Watson sitting there, and Cleveland said, we just got to move heaven and earth to get this guy. And they made the transaction happen. Why hasn't anybody swept in and said, we just got to pull the trigger on this? Is there something out there that teams know that no one else is privy to about Lamar Jackson?
It starts with the fact that he's even available. Like, that makes you question it. Is that right? That before you even purchase it, it gives you like sticker shock or buyer's remorse. Like, wait a minute, you're apprehensive. Like, really? It's too good to be true. All right, so that's part one. So then you realize, or at least you assume, that it's probably not that good if they're even going to make it available. Now, what's available? A guy who's been hurt the last 2 years, a guy who is going to cost north of $200 million guaranteed, a guy who also is going to come in with a questionable style of play. His best ball is years away in terms of what we've seen. And then most importantly, you add all of that up and you're still talking about giving up two first-round draft picks on top of all of that. That's when you realize we're not going to do the dirty work for the Ravens because all they could do is match it. So we set a market value for him and you matched it. What was all that for in terms of us and our organization? Or we actually get Lamar Jackson. Yay! We're committing $200-some million to get Lamar Jackson, who was available from the Ravens, who haven't won a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson. And, oh, by the way, we got to give up two first-round picks. It's just a hefty price tag for an amazing car, but as you check the records, it's been in an accident or two. And you're saying, maybe we just wait to get our own car, or certainly something that's a little less pricey.
So, speaking of knowing players, we've been playing this Andy Reid clip many times today. I don't know if you've heard it, Marcellus, but I figure we should play it again now that we're into hour three of our show. This is Andy Reid at the owners' meetings. All the coaches are down there. There's a media scrum. And someone, I'm assuming from Green Bay, is asking Andy Reid to break down what he remembers from the game when Jordan Love was playing at Arrowhead.
What did you think of Jordan Love in that quarter, one by up in the game that he played against you, what was that, 2 years ago?
Who's that?
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love.
Packers, he started that game when Rodgers missed it because of COVID.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. No, I thought he was good.
He doesn't remember a thing about Jordan Love, man. What does that say about either Jordan Love and his reputation throughout the league or about coaches in the NFL using Andy Reid as an example? Like, are these guys actually that, like, focused solely on their own team? Like, how could Andy Reid not know?
He has to know the quarterback.
Exactly. Yeah. How could he not know who Jordan Love is?
Oh, man, I'm Team Andy on this one. And it's funny because I've told this story so many different times to friends. The way we consume film study is in a dark room with no audio, and you get the two different film versions. You get the all type, which you can see the field, and then you get the sideline view, right? And we don't get the depth chart. We don't get the roster name. So literally, there are times when you're watching the film and all you say is their number. You're like, number 12 is good. Number 38, oh, yeah, all right, watch for him. Ooh, 76, you can attack him. And you never check to see who that guy is. Now, when you become a name, when you become a star, when you become a starter, yeah, we know who you are typically. But Jordan Love inserted in what, one game, few games? Like, no, you probably don't know who he is, literally. And it's funny because people think we're sitting there watching the game like you watch the game. You watch the game with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman and saying, oh, Denzel Fourier for the run. And you're like, oh, I know who Denzel Fourier is. And then you come to me, I'm like, who, number 26? And that's all I know. I don't know who Denzel Fourier is. So that's how disconnected it is from being a player and watching a film and a fan. Now, exponentially greater than a player in that perspective is a coach who is consumed with film and watches nothing but film and is never going to check. He cares about how he moves. He cares about what plays he's running, and he doesn't care about his name on his birth certificate. So, yeah, I actually have seen it 1,000 times, man. I'm Team Andy on this. Mm-hmm.
So what have you seen 1,000 times a player ghosting management? And I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers not responding even to Green Bay, anything whatsoever. I mean, what do you make of all of this?
Oh, man, I use a dating example. You're only busy when you don't want to hang out with that lady. You're only busy when it's not the one that you want to call you. But it's when it's the one you want, oh, you're always readily available. You're always interested. You're always accessible. So this is as simple as there's an uneven level of interest. Either Green Bay wants Aaron more or less than he wants them, or vice versa. Basically, Aaron Rodgers is like, look, I'm not that interested in this situation, so therefore my actions follow my thoughts. And Green Bay tried and obviously tried to be professional, but realized that, hey, guy doesn't seem too interested. How many times have you sent someone a voicemail just because, hey, I'm either busy doing what I want to do or I don't really want to talk to you? I know I'm guilty of that. So I think that the Aaron Rodgers in this situation is the same. He got his money, he got his extension, and he's like, dude, I get to y'all when I get to y'all because there are more interesting things out there, like the New York Jets. It's just sad that he can't be direct. Like, they both should be direct. We don't like each other that much, but we're stuck in this relationship. How can we get out? They could have avoided all of this, but instead they're playing this, like, childlike game of, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you called. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see your text. Like, who hasn't been there? It's always the same answer. I don't really care that much about you. That's why I didn't pick up.
Yep, that's
you never pulled those stunts, Marcellus, did you?
I'm about to pull it as soon as we get off the phone. I'm sure it's going to ring, and I'm sure I'm going to send him the voicemail. Oh, man, yeah, but I never did it with my organization. No, man, I never did it with the organization. Too much money's at stake. Hey, you got to be professional, et cetera. But, I mean, we all know that Aaron Rodgers struggles to keep his feet on the ground in terms of what he thinks of himself in this situation. And this is exactly what Brett Favre went through. Like, they just get a little too high on their horse, and they just don't want to handle things amicably and professionally. So it is what it is, and I think that's why Green Bay is ready to turn the page. It's just the labor expense of dealing with Aaron Rodgers, not worth how great he is on the field.
Well, you know what's amazing about the finances in the NFL is if you're calling up Dan Snyder and saying you're willing to pay $5 billion for his team, he's sending you to voicemail right now. For $5 billion, you're getting voicemail from Dan Snyder because it's $6 billion or bust. And as a guy that was a part of this league, a guy that laid brick to build this league, what do you make of that, man? There's a team in the NFL that's going to be sold for $6 billion.
Yeah, it's unreal, man. And, I congratulate the game. I feel like I wish that my birth certificate said different numbers. I wish it was 20 years later than it was. But at the same time, you just got to feel like, wow, I'm a part of something that's so amazing that's still growing. And I frankly, when I see these guys, I was just on the phone with my financial advisor who still represents active clients. And him and I laugh about it. He's like, dude, do you understand? The money you would have made by putting up the numbers you did at that time now. And I'm like, yeah, I do, actually. It would be 4 or 5X. And we laugh because you can see guys get paid that, you know. I saw Joey Bosa. I think we had the same amount of sacks. Maybe he had one more than I did. I got $40 million. He got $120 million. And it's like the same number of sacks at the same time when you strike your deal. That's just the way the game goes. So I'm proud of the ripple effect, or at least the waves I was able to create, because now those waves have turned into a tsunami.
Yeah, no question about that. He is Marcellus Wiley. Check out the More To It podcast. And we always appreciate you taking time for us, buddy. We'll do it again down the road.
All right. Don't ghost me, brothers. I'll talk to you soon.
Never. There's Marcellus Wiley. He's right, though. He's right. If it's someone you really want to hear from, you're going to answer that phone.
Yep.
You know, if it's someone you're not that interested in hearing from, that's a flush.
It's just disrespectful, though.
Like, it really, so really is.
Just like, you could understand, this guy has been there, what did you say, 18 years,
Aaron Rodgers.
Guys, I will say one thing. There could have been something behind the scenes that nobody's aware of.
That
was
fair.
A greasy, who knows? Like, yeah. I'm not claiming the guy's an angel, because clearly he's not, and he's got a different way of doing business. But there might have been something greasy coming his way, too, that nobody knows about. So don't count that out.
He did say he came out of the Hobbit hole, right, and he realized the Packers, he claims, had changed their mood. So maybe, you know, when he saw a text saying, call me, we need to chat, he's like, all right, I know what's coming up. So I'm going to break up with you before you break up with me. Like classic passive-aggressive play.
Yeah, don't kid yourself.
But I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, there could have been some greasy stuff going on his direction.
Yeah. Hey, listen, they've drafted Jordan Love. According to him, that was a greasy play. Right?
That was the beginning of it all.
Absolutely, it was.
It really was.
Baseball season starting on Thursday. The Jays are in St. Louis. Alek Manoah will get the ball in St. Louis opening day. Catch up with Brad Lidge, get his take on the Jays rotation. Kevin Kiermaier saying that this team could have 100 wins in them. That more coming up with Brad. We'll do that next.